Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now on Daf Zayin Amud Bet of Masechet Gittin, which takes us properly to Mishnah Bet and Mishnah Gimel that were presented at the very beginning, and in our first year we skipped them because they weren't attended to. So please turn back to Daf Bet Amud Aleph, to the middle of the Mishnah, after delineating the boundaries and the various opinions about from where a get being brought from which location requires the declaration of Fana Nechtam. Mishnah Bet, Rabbi Yehuda establishes the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Meir dissents on one particular point, and we'll see. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mirekem Lamizrach Verekem Kamizrach. This is evidently not the same Rekem as mentioned in the first Mishnah, and the opinion of Rabban Gamliel as being, even if somebody brings from Rekem, this is the eastern border. Some suggest that it may be the northeastern border up in Eretz Naphtali and the Bikat Talavanon. And Rekem Kamizrach. Rekem itself is considered already outside of the boundary. Ashkelon Darom, Ashkelon Kadarom. Ashkelon, which is not far from the contemporary city of Ashkelon, is the southernmost border, and it is already out. Me'ako Latzafon V'ako Katzafon. Ako, the port just above Haifa, from there north, and it is considered part of the north, meaning it's considered out of bounds. Rameir Akko Eretz Yisrael Gittin. Rameir says as far as Gittin goes, Akko is considered part of Eretz Yisrael. The implication is that as far as other things go, Akko is considered Kechutz Laretz. Okay, Mishnah Gimel, which ends the piece on Daf Bet. Hamevi get Eretz Yisrael, Enot Tzrich Shom, Fana Nechtam. So the conclusion of everything we saw in Mishnah Aleph and Mishnah Bet is that if you bring a get within Eretz Yisrael, you do not have to make the declaration. Himyesh Alav Orim, and so therefore if somebody comes and challenges the get, and we will see at the very end of this podcast who that is, Yitkayem Mechotamav. Then the signatories are then validated because it's all within Eretz Yisrael, we identify who they are. Validate the signatures, and then the get is good, and the challenge is put down. This we encountered in our Gemara. If somebody comes from Dinat Hayam and cannot say, so the reason we said could not say was somebody who became incapacitated after handing over the get, before making the declaration. If we can find witnesses to substantiate the signatures of the witnesses, then that will be a good enough kiyum, and his failure to say Fana Nechtam will not invalidate the get and will not mess up the process. Now, Rabbah, if you recall in our discussion, had to explain that that Mishnah was presented at a time after the courts in the diaspora had already mastered proper preparation of a get, and the only thing left was kiyum hashtar. And in a normal case, we'd still require it to make sure that in case the courts later forgot again, we would be covered. But in this case, where perhaps she had already married or whatever, that we would allow it. Okay, now to the Gemara Dav Zayin Amud Bet. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Merakam Lamizrach, etc. The one issue we're going to deal with is Akko. Lamemra da Akko Litzfonah de Eretz Yisrael Kaima. Is Akko really the northern border or really north of Eretz Yisrael, according to the Tanakhama? It's outside of Eretz Yisrael, and Rameir only includes in Eretz Yisrael as far as Gittin goes, but not for other things. Or Aminu, we have a challenge to this. Hayam halech mi'Akko l'Kziv. If you were going from Akko north to Kziv, now Kziv may be near Nachal Achziv. It may be even in current Lebanon, but it's somewhere on the North Israel South Lebanon coast, north of Akko. Mimino Lamizrach, and we see that it's north because to the right of you, if you're walking on that road from your right, which is to the west, the east, Haderach Tzbayam Hashem Eretz Amim, that's considered Chutz Laretz, and if you go there, you're Tamei, from the Gzerad Rabbanan of Tumat Eretz Amim, Uftaramina Maser Min Ashvit, and that area has no obligations that are land-based of Shemitah and Masrot, Trumot, Chal, etc. Adshi Vadalacha Shechayevet, unless there's a particular spot that you find out really is Eretz Yisrael, otherwise the assumption of the area to the east of that road is Chutz Laretz. However, Mismololam Marav, but to the left, meaning that little strip between the road and the coast, Haderach Tahora, that is Tahor, Mishum Eretz Amim, it does not have the Gzerav Eretz Amim, V'chayevet B'maser V'shvit. And there, all the laws of Eretz Yisrael apply, Achi Yodalachashib Torah, unless there's a particular spot that you find out is not. Ad Hechan, how far north does that go? Ad Kaziv. Shom Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Shom Aviv, Ad Lav Lavo. It could even be Levalvo. It could even be further north. But in any case, what we see from this Braita is that north of Akko is still considered Eretz Yisrael, even for issues beyond Gittin, and certainly for Gittin. So how do we reconcile that with the Mishnah that puts Akko as either in or out, but the northernmost border? The Amarbaya Ritzua Nafka. He says you there is one strip that goes beyond Akko, between Akko and between the coast road and the coast itself, which is Eretz Yisrael. V'yayiv Tana Siman Achi, so is the Tana going to give all of this detail about a tiny strip of land? So in Kranami Yayiv Simana, we even have Psukim that gives such a detailed description about a particular location, Dichtiv, and just a little bit of background, at the end of that story, Pilegesh Begiva, that we discussed in the last podcast in the context of Rabbi Eviatar, the war that nearly decimated Shevet Binyamin left 600 men of Binyamin, no women, and all of Am Yisrael having taken an oath not to let their daughters marry people from Binyamin. So Binyamin was going to die out. And one of the solution, the second solution, after there weren't enough girls found in Yavesh Gilad, was that there is a yearly festival. Evidently, it's a harvest, a grape harvest festival that takes place. And the men of Binyamin were told to hide in the bushes and grab women who were dancing. And then the men wouldn't violate the oath of giving their daughter to Binyamin because they'd be taken. It's a very bizarre story, part of a larger bizarre story. But in any case, in the description of that festival, it says, "Vayomer hinei chag Adonai b'shilo miyamim yamima." Asher mitzvon al Beit El. So instead of just saying Shiloh, where we all know where it is, it says it's north of Beit El. Mizracha Hasham Hashamish l'msila olam Beit El Shchema. It's to the east side of the road that goes from Beit El north to Shchem. Uminegev l'alvona, and it's just south of Levona, which is probably where the modern day village of Luban is. Our Papa interprets the Pasuk the way I said it. It's to the east, not the whole thing is to the east, but it's to the east of the road. The point is that the text here gives you a very, very exact description of where the location is. In the same way, the Tana gives an exact description of the one exception north of Akko that's still considered Eretz Yisrael, but generally speaking, Akko is the northern tip. Okay, Tana Chada, Hamevi get bisfina, Kamevi be'Eretz Yisrael. So now we have a sort of ancillary discussion. What happens if you bring a get that you're on a boat? Now we're going to assume right now the boat is, let's say, in the Arden, or the boat is in the Arkon, in some river in Eretz Yisrael, and it's written on that boat. So Kamevi be'Eretz Yisrael, Tanya Idach Kamevi b'Chutz La'aretz. So we have two opinions as to whether a get written on a boat in Eretz Yisrael, that's what we assume it is considered like bringing it in Eretz Yisrael. It's like he's on land, and therefore there's no need for the declaration. Another Braita says it's like he's bringing it from Chutz La'aretz, and therefore he needs the declaration. How do we reconcile these? Rav Yirmiya Lokasha, Har Yehuda HaRabbanan. We assign them to different authorities, as per the following Mishnah. Danan, Afar Chutz La'aretz, Haba B'Sfina La'aretz. If you have some dirt brought from Chutz La'aretz, and it's on a boat, it comes into Eretz Yisrael, and now you're in the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Chayav maaser v'shvi'it. Suddenly, anything grown there is chayav b'trumot maaserot, etc., is limited by shvi'it, as if it's in Eretz Yisrael. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, imata Rabbi Yehuda put a caveat on that. When does that apply? Bizman shasfina gosheshet. Only if the boat is scraping the seabed, meaning that it's not free floating in the water, but it's touching the land. So there's a direct contact with the land of Eretz Yisrael. But if it's in the water, even though it's the waters of Eretz Yisrael, it's patur. So if so, you have a simple solution. The one who says that if you bring a get in a boat, it's like you bring it in Eretz Yisrael, that's Chachamim. And Rabbi Yehuda would say it's like Chutz La'aretz, so we're talking about a boat that's free floating. Abayamar Havahar Rabbi Yehuda, he has a simpler solution. He says both statements could be authored by Rabbi Yehuda. For Lokasha, Kamizvan Shana Sfinah Gosheshet, Kamizvan Shana Sfinah Gosheshet. Simply, if the ship is scraping the seabed, then we consider it Eretz Yisrael, and there's no need to make the declaration. If the ship is free floating, then we consider it Chutz La'aretz, and it does have to make the declaration. Okay, now picking up from that, we go to another topic. Amar Vzeira Atzitz Nakuv Hamunach Gabei Yitzedot. So an atzitz is a pot. So if you have a tzitz nakuv is a pot that has a hole in the bottom of it so that the nutrients, you could argue, are coming from stuff underneath. If you have an tzitz she'eino nakuv, a potted plant, a pot that holds a plant where there's no hole in it, and it's sitting even right on the ground, it's not getting its nutrients from the ground, but just from the dirt that it's in, and that's not considered but if you have one that, let's say, has a hole over in it, and it's put right on the ground, such that the dirt in the hole is getting nutrients from the land, then it's chayav and shumot masrot. What if it's propped up on little pegs, so it's a couple inches off the ground, but it's got a hole underneath it? Rabbi Zeira wanted to claim that such a situation in Eretz Yisrael, you've got four pegs and a pot on top of it with a hole, and stuff growing in the pot. Whether or not that stuff is chayav b'trumot u'masrot and shvit, etc., will be dependent on the same machlok of Yehuda Rabbanan about the boat. Amarava dumalohi. Rava says to Rav Zeira, that's the correlation is not necessary. Ad kan lo kamar Yehuda hatam. Perhaps Rav Yehuda only says that we require the boat to be scraping the seabed. Ela b'sfina da'asuya livroach. That's only true about a boat because a boat is moving. A boat is a boat is traveling, right? Aval atzitz no asul yevroach, but a pot that's sitting there, it's not going to be moving. Lo, maybe Rabbi Yehuda would say, even though there's airspace in between, maybe he'd agree that it's chayav masrot inami and flip it. Ad kan lo kamer rabbanan hatam. Perhaps the rabbis only say that the sfina is considered Eretz Yisrael. Because from the ground that's sitting, the dirt that's sitting on the boat, and the boat is sitting in the water, there's no airspace. Because the water, the rabbis obviously consider to be part of the land. So you have dirt, boat, water, land. So it's all connected. But with this pot, there's airspace between it. Lo, perhaps they would say that there is no chiyuv, which means it's possible that the positions could be flipped or could be consistent. Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda could agree that atzitz nakuv is chayav, is not chayav, and it would not affect their positions. It would not be predicated by their positions about the boat. Now, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, he goes back to our original question about a get being written on a boat, whether or not it's Eretz Yisrael Kuchutz Laretz. He says, "Benarot Eretz Yisrael Kol Yama Lo Pligi." Everybody agrees that if this boat is in rivers of Eretz Yisrael, for instance, the Yarkon, everybody agrees that it is Eretz Yisrael, because here we don't require it to be touching the ground. It's not an issue of whether or not this is land of Eretz Yisrael. It's within the area of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, if it's written on a boat in Eretz Yisrael, that's part of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there's no need to make the declaration. Eliki Pligi, where is the dispute between the two statements that it's considered Chutz Laretz in Eretz Yisrael? Beyam HaGadol, in the Mediterranean. As we have the following machloket about how to determine territorial waters for Eretz Yisrael in the Mediterranean. D'tanya, Ezu Eretz v'Ezu Chutz Laretz. What is Eretz Yisrael and what's Chutz Laretz? As far as the sea goes, Kol Sheshofei Avereid Mituram Non V'Lifnim. If you go to Turam Non, which is up on the Syrian coast, not far from Turkey, which is the northernmost boundary of biblical Eretz Yisrael, and you go from there, anywhere inside of that line, draw a line from there, down to let's say El Arish, which may be where Nachal Mitzrayim is. Anything inside of that, all the little islands and all the sea in there, is considered Eretz Yisrael. Mituram non v'lachutz. Anything on the outside of that, chutz laaretz. Hanasin shebayam, little islands or islets. Ro'in otan ki ilu chut matuach alei mituram non v'nachal Mitzrayim. So we imagine a line going from Turam non up in North Syria down to Nachal Mitzrayim, which may be Wadi El Arish, it may be closer to Egypt, it may be closer to Gaza, different opinions. Minachut v'lifnim, anything inside of that, Eretz Yisrael, minachut v'lachutz, chutz laretz. Anything outside of that is chutz laretz. That's Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol shekeneged Eretz Yisrael, or Eheuk Eretz Yisrael. Anything facing Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, he quotes the pasuk, a very strange pasuk, giving the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael in Parshat Mas'eh. It says, Ugvul Yam, what's the western border? Vayalachem Hayam HaGadol Ugvul. The Mediterranean Sea, the Great Sea, is the boundary. Zeyalachem Gvul Yam. What's all that Gvul in there for? It's there to tell you that anything in the Mediterranean Sea facing Eretz Yisrael is considered Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, and we'll see what it means in a minute, V'anasin shibit stadin, what about all the islands in the middle? Ro'in otan ki iluchut matuach alein mi kafluria ve'ad yam okeanus. We imagine a line being drawn from the northern border all the way out to the Okeanos, which we have to assume here is Gibraltar, and from the southern border out to the ocean, Minachut v'lifim Eretz Yisrael. Anything inside of that. So you have a large triangular piece that meets at a point at the entryway of the Mediterranean to the Atlantic Ocean. All of that is Eretz Yisrael. Minachut v'lachutz chutz laretz. And anything outside of that is chutz laretz. So that means that the machloket here is if you have a boat that's, let's say, in the middle of the Mediterranean, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he'd be the opinion that says, if it's bitten on that boat, you don't have to make the declaration. And according to Chachamim, it is because it's not within that narrower line that goes straight from Tur Amnon to Nachal Mitzrayim. Rabbanan hayu gvul mayav dilei. So what do the Rabbanan do with that strange pasuk gvul yam? They say that's there to tell you that the islands are included. The islands in this narrow border also included. Rabbi Yehuda nasin lo tzrichi kra. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need a pasuk from that because if the water's included, so the little islets that are within that water are also included. All right, that would mean, by the way, that Rabbi Yehuda's take here on the borders would mean that Eretz Yisrael halachically stretches very, very far west, all the way really into the Mediterranean, all the way to the tip of the Iberian Peninsula. It's an interesting question came up, if you interested to take a look, at the Tosfot, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and we have a Rabbi Peter asked Rabbeinu Tam, he said that here in France, we should perhaps be chayav in Shemot Masrot because we are on the boundary, and take a look at the discussion that took place, an interesting sidelight. Okay, Rav Meir Omer Akko Keretz Yisrael. We go back to Mishnah Bet. At the end of Mishnah Bet, Rav Meir said, Akko is Keretz Yisrael, Legitin. Bominim Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So we now have one introduction to this piece. If you have an Eved Kanani, you get a hold of an Eved Kanani, that Eved Kanani becomes Chayav in many mitzvot. He's on a one-way track towards conversion, coercive conversion. And as a result of that, though, if you sell an Eved Kanani to Chutz Laretz, automatically he goes free. Because you, it's a sugi and gittin, several opinions as to why, but one way or the other, it's because you are making mitzvah performance impossible for him. That's why if you sell him to a non-Jew, he goes free. If you sell him to Chutz Laretz, he goes free. Good. So, Remei Omei Akko Keretz Yisrael. Baal Minem Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Hamochra Avdo L'Suria. What if somebody sells his slave to Syria, to somebody, a Jewish person who lives in Syria, in Aram Tzoba, let's say around Aleppo. Kamocha b'chutz laretz dami olo. Now the background to this is that, and this is a long piece, but that the area northeast of Eretz Yisrael was conquered by David, as you read in Shmuel Bet, Perek Chet, and that war, Chachamim had a difficulty understanding, or some challenges understanding what the nature of that war was, and referred to it as Kibush Yachid. And the conventional understanding of Kibush Yachid was that David conquered that before he had completed conquering the part of Eretz Yisrael that he was obligated to. And the question is Kibush Yachid considered a proper Kibush or not? Therefore, does it have the status of Eretz Yisrael or not? So now the question is, if you sell your slave to there, Kamocher b'chutz laretz dami olo, does he go free like selling your slave to Bavel or to somewhere else, or does he not go free? He said, we have a simple solution in our Mishnah. Our mayor said that Akko, unlike the Rabbanan, he said, Akko is Keretz Yisrael for Gittin. Legittin in Lavarim Lo, meaning for Gittin, we extend Eretz Yisrael a little further north to Akko, but for other things like Avadim, it doesn't even go that far north. For Cholshkin, Surya, the Rachatuv, and certainly Syria, which is far north, and of course east of there, will not be included. All right, so his answer was that if you sell your slave to Syria, he goes free. Now we have an ancillary braita. Tana Rabbanan, Mishloshah Drachim Shafta Surya L'Eretz Yisrael. There's three ways in which Syria is like Eretz Yisrael. Mishloshah L'Chutz Laretz. In three ways it's like Chutz Laretz. So you can see that Syria has this schizophrenic identity of being sort of Eretz Yisrael, sort of Chutz Laretz. What are the ways in which it's like Chutz Laretz? Afarat Tamei K'Chutz Laretz. The land, the physical land is Tamei, as part of the Gzeirah of Tumat Eretz Amim. V'mocher Abdullah Surya, and if you sell your slave to Syria, k'mocher b'chutzlaretz, he goes free as if you sold him anywhere else in chutzlaretz, thus substantiating the answer that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba gave. V'hamevi get me Surya, and to our issue, if somebody brings a get from Syria, k'mevi b'chutzlaretz, it's as if he brought it from chutzlaretz and asked to say b'fanai nichtav, b'fanai nechtam. There's three ways in which it's like Eretz Yisrael. Chayevet maser u'shvi'it. So there is an obligation of maser and shvi'it in Syria. Eretz Yisrael. V'ratzeli kaneis la b'tahara nichnas. We're going to see details on that in a minute. You can possibly enter that place and stay tahor with a particular mechanism. V'akunes sadeh b'Syria. And if you buy a field in Syria, k'konev afar v'ari Yerushalayim. It's like you bought land in Eretz Yisrael. We'll see what that's about also. Let's go through these three. Chayav maser v'shvit keret Yisrael. Why? Kasara kibush yachid shmei kibush. Obviously, the ton of this braita holds that kibush yachid, that conquest that David effected of the area of Aram Tzov and Aram Naharayim, is considered to be a proper kibush, and therefore it has a din of Eretz Yisrael. What's that? Vamarta farat tameh. You just said that the land of Syria is tameh like chutzlaretz. So how can you possibly enter there b'tahara? The answer is b'shidate va'umigdal, to go in with some sort of a box, like carrying in a sedan. The tanya, we dealt with this in Nazir. The tanya hanichnas la'eretz hamim b'shidate va'umigdal. If you go into chutzlaretz in one of these boxes that's protected, Rabbi metameh, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda metaher. So Rebbe says you're still Tameh, or Rebbe Yehuda, his colleague, says you're Tahor. V'afilu Rebbe lo kametameh, but even Rebbe will not say in such a case you're Tameh, ala be'eretz hamim, into full chutzlaretz. T'gazru'a gushavi ala vira, because there they made a decree both against the land and also against the airspace. Ala Surya, but Syria, which is half Eretz Yisrael, al gushan gazru, al vira lo gazru. The decree was lighter. They only made the decree against the earth itself, but not against the airspace. Therefore, if you're carried in a box, therefore you're not touching the land and you are tahor. So even Rebbe would agree, in that case you're tahor. Okay, v'akones sadeh b'Syria, if you buy a field in Syria, k'konem far v'ar Yerushalayim, it's like buying a house in Yerushalayim, or a field. L'may hilchata, what's the practical implication of that? It's very nice, but what does it mean? Shesha l'mar shekotvin alav ono, that you can write the deed for it, afilu b'Shabbat. You can write a deed to buy such a field on Shabbat. Shabbat salkadaitach, you think you can write on Shabbat to buy a field in Eretz Yisrael? So k'ramarav omer lo'ovid kochavim oseh. What it means is you could tell a non-Jew, you can instruct a non-Jew to write it, which you normally cannot do. You cannot, midrabanan, you cannot tell a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbat, amir al-nachri. Same thing here. If you're going to buy a field in Syria, you can instruct a non-Jew to write the deed for you on Shabbat. That's, of course, if the deal is going to be gone after Shabbat. Even though there's a prohibition against telling a non-Jew to do malacha for you, shumin shuver tisrael lo gazra banan. The rabbis did not make the decree being out of love for the mitzvah of yishuver tisrael, and therefore, if you have a chance to gain property in Eretz Yisrael because of the mitzvah of yishuver tisrael, we overlook or trump the isra of amir lenochri. The same thing applies to buying a field in Syria. Okay, now, Tanu Rabbanan, Eved Shevi Gito. This now moves away from the issue of Syria, but Eved Shevi Gito, if a slave comes to the Beit Din, and he brings his own document, writ of emancipation, Chatubo Atzmacha Nechasai Knuyin Lach, and it says on it that the master wrote, yourself, to the Eved, and all my, and my property are acquired to you. Atzmo Kana Nechasim Lo Kana. He does acquire his own freedom, but the property doesn't come to him. We'll see why. Ibayalu, so the question was now asked, Kol nechasai knuin lach, what if he says, all of my property belongs to you? Mahu. So Abaya says, Mitoch shekana atzmo kana nechasim. Now, because he acquired himself as part of the property of the master, he's now a free man, and therefore the property comes to him too. So Amalei Rava said to Abaya, Bishlam atzmo likni, I understand how he acquires himself, midave get isha, the same way that a woman becomes divorced to the get, which cuts to the essential problem of how can you ever divorce a woman or, in parallel, free a slave. Anything that a slave gets belongs to the master. So the minute you give him the writ, it comes back to you. The answer is, gito v'yadu baim ke'achad. Your ability, your yad, your ability to make a separate acquisition comes together with the get. So the same thing here. Al nechasim lo likni, but he should not be able to acquire the nechasim, Rava says back to Abaye, midave kiyum shtarot alma. Just like In other words, this shtar needs confirmation like any other shtar. Ela'atzmo likni, midami agetisha. But, so Hadar Mabai, Abai then turned around and took the opposite position. He was convinced by Rava. Since he can't acquire the possessions, because after all, that piece of the writ needs kiyum shtar. Therefore, atzmo lo kana, because it's in the same document. Amalei Rava bishlam anachasim lo likni. I understand that he can't acquire the possessions. Midami kiyum shtar talma. Well, atzmo likni ravi get isha. So in other words, Rava is consistent and says that in, as Marzi, Ela Amar Rava, Echad Zeh Ve'Echad Zeh, whether the case in the bright or this new case, Atzmo Kana Nechasim Lo Kana. He acquires himself, he does not acquire the property. Which means we're looking at this shtar that is one unit, one piece, one set of witnesses, and we are distinguishing between two effects of the shtar, accepting one and not the other, which is what we call Palginan. So in other words, Rava takes the consistent position that in every case he acquires himself, just like any other get, but he does not acquire the possessions. Abaye took the polar positions, but switching from one to the other, based on one generating the other, either because he acquires himself, he acquires the possessions, or because he can't acquire the possessions, he can't acquire himself. Now, Amalei Rav Anna Bar Matna L'Rava. Come on. So Rava, you're following whose opinion? K'Rabbi Shimon. It's Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah in Peah. Damar Palginan Dibura, who says that we take a statement of someone and split it, and the part that is acceptable we accept, and the part that's unacceptable we ignore. Dinana Kotev Kol Nechasav Liavdo. Let's say a man wrote all of his property over to his slave. Yatsab Ben Chorin. Then clearly the slave goes free because he's part of that property. In other words, he acquired everything, and along with the everything includes himself. Shier Karka Kolshu, but if the man said, I'm giving all my property except for one piece to you, then lo yatzab ben chorin, because there's still something left over in the shtar, right? Now Rabbi Shimon Omer, what does Rabbi Shimon say? Le'olam hu ben chorin. He certainly is free. Until the fellow who writes it makes it a percentage. If he says, I'm giving you everything except that North 40, that's fine because he's included in everything besides the North 40. Until he says, I'm giving you everything except 1% of my property. Because 1% means 1% of everything, including 1% of the Eved. So the Eved can't go free because there's not a full freedom. All right, and we're going to get back to that in a minute. Now, Amrav Yosef Barman Yumi, Amrav Nachman, and this is the part that we're concerned about because he says it sounds like Rava is ruling like Rabbi Shimon that says we split the statement and say we accept the part that's acceptable and we ignore the other part. Amrav Yosef Barman Yumi, Amrav Nachman, Afalpisha Kiles Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon, even though Rabbi Yosef praised Rabbi Shimon about his ruling here, as we'll see in a moment, Halachak Rameir, the Halachas like Rameir, which is that if he holds back any land, the fellow doesn't go free. The first opinion in the Mishnah. The Tanya, let's see. Kshenem Rudvarim, the Pharaoh of Yossi, when Rabbi Yossi heard Rabbi Shimon's opinion, Karalav Mikra Zeh, he said the following pasuk, Sfatayim Yishak Meshiv Dvarim Nechochim. That may mean that a person kisses out of adoration for wonderful things, or maybe like Tosfot says, that your lips shut seal shut. When you hear such a good thing that because you're stunned, you can't say anything in response. Either way, he praised it. Since when did Rav Nachman say halacha is like Rav Meir? Rav Yosef, Rav Menyumi, Rav Nachman, Shchimirat Shekatav Kol Nechasav Liavdo. If a fellow is on his deathbed, we have a special halachot we'll deal with in the ninth parak of Bava Batra. V'yaman, and if he writes, if he gives over all of his property, let's say Shchimirat gives over all his property to somebody and then gets better, it all reverts. Because it's clear that he was giving it over based on the assumption he was going to die. Now, let's say a person was a shechiv mira on his deathbed, and he wrote everything over to his slave as a gift, v'yamad, and then he got better. Chozer b'nechasim ve'ino chozer be'eved. When he gets better, he gets all the property back, but the eved stays free. So you see that we seem to be like Rabbi Shimon, the Palginan. It's a regular classic matnat shchiv mira that if you get better, you take it back. You can't take the eved back because the eved now has a name of being a free man. You can't revert that. So what's the deal? Rav Nachman did not rule like Rav Meir. He just said the reason that in a case where you held anything back, was the reason he ruled like Rav Meir, was not because he was opposed to Bal Ginon, but because he said when the fellow says, I'm giving you everything except one piece of land, it's not a complete excision. And therefore, it's not a good get. But not because he doesn't accept the notion of Bal Ginon. Here we see he accepts the notion of Bal Ginon with a Shechiv Mirah, who gave everything to his Eved. The Eved goes free, the property goes back, because the part that works, works. The part that doesn't work, doesn't work. And therefore, we can say that Rava is now substantiated as following the halakha of his Rebbe Rav Nachman, who ruled like Rebbe Shimon, essentially, but not in the particular case in Peah, and we can have a palginan, and therefore if an Eved shows up, back to our original case, if an Eved shows up with a shtar that says, you and all my property are given to you, the Eved goes free, the property does not go to him. Alright, im yesh alav orin. Back in the Mishnah, Gimel, we said that if the fellow cannot say, Fanechtam. Or let's say in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say it. And then if somebody challenges it, then we just substantiate the signatures. Now, Ikaimachotamav. Irakama. Who's coming and challenging this? Elam Irachad, one guy is coming in. Just not the husband. Some guy comes in and says, I think that's a forged document. Rav Yochanan, Divrakol, and Irapachav Yishnaim. Rav Yochanan said, there is no such thing as a challenge of less than two people coming in. So that can't be. Ela ira to Trey. It must be the two people came in and said that thing is forged. So Trey or Trey Ninus. If so, how are you helping by getting two other people to come and testify to the signatures? It's a double knockout and you still have no Kiyum Ashtar. So either way, it doesn't work. Either you have one person coming to challenge it and that challenge is going to be fall on deaf ears, or you have two people coming to challenge it, in which case you're getting witnesses to substantiate the signatures. Won't help because two versus two. My chazi de samach tahani, smach ani, why are you relying on these? Rely on those. Ela ira de bal, it must be that the husband came and challenged it, and that is indeed why, it's a challenge, because he's the one who supposedly committed himself in this document, and he's saying it's forged. Therefore, we have to take his challenge more seriously than just one person off the street. But if we have two people to substantiate the signatures, then indeed his challenge will go away. All right, everybody should have a wonderful day. We'll pick up the next podcast with Mishnah Daled, which begins on Daf Tet Amud Aleph. One tack on note, just to add on to the previous sugi about Eved Shevigito Mechutz La'aretz, Eved Shevigito, and it said in it that you're free and I'm giving you all of, you are Nikne and I'm giving you all of my property, or property, or all of property. This is talking about somebody who comes from Chutz La'aretz and makes a declaration, just like a woman. Just look at, like with a woman's get, fanechtam, fanechtam. Question is, does that have an effect also for the property? That's why Abaye says, since it's one shtar, since it works for his own freedom based on fanechtam, therefore it also works for the possessions. Rava splits the two. Abaye then turns around and says, since there's an invalidity in the get, or shall we say an incompleteness in the get, which is about the possessions, therefore it does, the entire get is incomplete until we ratify the signatures. Rava maintains his position of splitting the difference. And the rest reads from there.